This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number three, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross here in downtown Las Vegas at Circus Sports. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Going to have Colby Marcio join us this hour to get his thoughts on Major League Baseball and the docket and the daily bets there. We'll give out our best bets as well. But what a pleasure to begin hour number three. We go to Arizona for the great Lou Finocchiaro. Give him a follow on X as I do at GamBlue. He is the host of the Bout Business podcast, gives out those sneak peeps each and every week to get you primed for the betting card. Joins us in the Progressive Guest Line and mom and dad's favorite. Lou, how are you in Arizona, my man? How pumped up are you for this UFC 317 card?
I'm totally fired up for the card, Dave. I appreciate you and Jensen having me in. I've been watching all the other UFC guys through the week add their input, which is knowledgeable and gameable, and I'm ready to rock and roll.
Oh, man, it's as good as it gets. We got two title fights, obviously, with Ilya Topuria and Charles Oliveira. We've seen movement here, Lou, rather dramatic in the last 24 hours. In that you could have bet Charles Oliveira around 4-1 as a dog against Topuria. You can't get that anymore. And you're seeing this number come down. And I wonder if that's public money. We know how popular a guy like Charles Oliveira is. Does that change anything for you when you see the money move in the way of DuBronx here slightly, instead of being still a massive underdog, but not as big as it once was?
No, not really, because when you see 4-1 and 5-1, you just have people that are going to automatically play their, you know, pizza money bet and try and go long. I do think that the Topuria line against Charles is a little out of whack. I believe the minus 300 that he opened with, I'd even go to minus 350, 360. After that, I think it's maybe not giving Charles his due. I think that Topuria is the legit favorite. His hands are just so crisp, his footwork. And when you put footwork with hands together, you get a chance to defeat Volkanovski and knock out Max Holloway. So he's a threat everywhere. He's the legitimate favorite in this fight. I think where I would attack this, and of the bets we're going to talk about this morning, this would be the smallest of all the bets that I would make, and I would be going over the 1.5 because it isn't what everybody thinks. And everybody just thinking Topuria going to steamroll this guy, and I beg to differ. Yeah, is Charles going to come right at him? He's going to try, but in the interviews you heard Topuria say he's going to try and come right at me. That means Topuria knows the plan. Is this going to be two Rams clashing on the side of the mountain? I don't think so early. I think for my small pittance of a bet, I'm going over 1.5, maybe even the fight to start the round three.
Ooh. I absolutely love the rationale, Lou. And I am very intrigued for both of these title fights. And let's go to the second one in Pantoja and Kaikar of France. I know throughout the week, Dave and I have had spirited discussions with our various guests on the UFC. We saved the best for last. And I gather from what you think about this particular fight that you have a unique angle as well.
Well, I've heard most everyone's angles on this fight, and my angle is simply this. Pantoja is a very talented fighter. He's 35 years old, however. And in the first fight against Cara France, he was 26, and Cara France was 23. Cara France competed with him and took him to a decision. And what's changed since then? Well, Pantoja's had a great storied career, albeit in a division that has no talent. I mean, yeah, Brandon Moreno, but he and Figgy beat each other up over the course of four fights and waned each other's abilities. This division is paper thin. That's why you get Kaikara France 1-2 in his last three to fight for the championship. But he's a bad match for Pantoja. Pantoja gets hit way too much. 3.92 significant strikes absorbed every five rounds, and Kaikara France is a banger. He's also, after nine years ago, Kaikara France went to City Kickboxing and started trading with Eugene Behrman then. not only is Bearman one of the best game planners in the game, that France has been with him 9 years, and now France is 32 and he's the full grown man. This is a really, really positive matchup for France. I believe he will be able to keep it up. And if it does go down, if he gets a little too much of himself and rushes in, he'll be able to get up better this time than he could 9 years ago. And 9 years ago, he got up every time. So I think what we have here is a guy in Pantoja that's a great champion. He's just not a great all-time champion because there's no competition for him.
I'm going to give out my best bets at the end of the program, but let's just say I concur. I love that handicap there with Kankar France. You mentioned the division. You go down to the raw dog, Brandon Royval, against Joshua Van here. And this has got potential fight of the night for three rounds written all over it. We know how wild a guy like Royval can be in there. But Joshua Van, this is kind of now, Lou, a guy that's just fought a couple weeks ago. Big step up in competition, and he's the favorite at $1.25. Is that the correct pricing that you're seeing there?
Well, I don't know if it's the correct pricing, but it's pricing that I'm interested in playing into.
Mm-hmm.
I think the difference here is Royval's pedigree, who he's been in with, who he's competed against. He feels totally disrespected. He trains at altitude. Now we go to Van, a very talented kid, power in his hands, striker. I don't know how much grappling he's able to do effectively. But Van, everybody's taught, well, he just fought 3 weeks ago. Yeah, that's correct. However, he's 23, and this is his fifth UFC fight in 7 months, guys. He's too young. He's taking too many fights. He's ambitious, God bless him, but he's about to get his PhD in MMA. And after this fight, he'll realize not only are there levels to this, but you need to allow your body to rest and recover. It isn't just the 3 weeks from the last fight. It's 5 and 7 months.
Lou, this is always a great visit with you each week because, you know, I look for method of victory props, always a different way to kind of attack the card. Are there parlay pieces for you on this main card? Are there prelims that stand out to you? Or are there specific ways, maybe from a differential, that you would look at how this card shapes up tomorrow night?
Yeah, I think Terrence McKinney is in a really good spot against Borchev in a fight that's set up to be on the feet. McKinney has shown he's got great wrestling. He's shown to have really low IQ, get out there and get into firefights. I believe he will address that in this fight, but I don't know that it'll matter much. I just think he's too fast and too strong for Borchev. And who I maybe pair him with would be RoboCop.
Yep.
I don't see – I see Jack Hermanson being kind of a sexy pick, but if I bend my brain, I don't know how he wins. He's not – I don't know how he can get RoboCop down. If he does, Rodriguez can grapple right with Hermanson, and he's a bigger man. And on the feet, this is a mismatch. And what Jack doesn't like, and we saw it against the Cannoneer in the Cannoneer fight, he doesn't like to be bullied and pushed back. That's what RoboCop's going to do. So RoboCop's surely a parlay piece. You want to take him with McKinney, as I mentioned, that's maybe riskier. I do also like the young man Delgado that fights out of the MMA lab. Hyder Emile's getting a lot of attention.
Yep.
And he's got the experience. He's a young slugger. He's going to take the fight right to Delgado. But this is a spot that Delgado's really looking forward to, as is his gym. They feel very prepared for this fight.
Yeah, I love the, by the way, the Terrence McKinney fight against Slava Claus. My only concern is that fight IQ. You know it. Like we talk about, that's the only issue that I have because everything else should favor T-Mac in that matchup. And you mentioned RoboCop. The only way that I could see that happening is if he gasses late in a third round. But I think he's going to be down 2 rounds to none at that point, Jack Hermanson. So I love those angles and those handicaps. Very quickly, when you look at Beneil Dariush against Ricardo Moicano, you got money's going to be talking, and he talks a lot. I think it amused Beneil a little bit this week. He's not a talker, Dariush. He's not really an advocate of himself. What do you make of the matchup here? Because I've heard a couple people that I really respect going back and forth in this one. Is Dariush that quiet, calm guy, and Moicano being a little bit more reckless, is that going to play into Dariush's hands?
Well, I mean, when I look at these guys, I see the same guy. The personalities are dynamically different, and it's the personalities that have been getting bet. They love Money Moicano. I want the money. I'm going to knock the ball. You know, he's caught lightning in a bottle with this new podcast and personality. God bless him. But I think there's recency tied to that. Meanwhile, yesterday, Dariush wins my heart, shows up for the face-offs. Moicano's in a nice tailored suit, and Dariush shows up in gym shorts with a hole in the ass, man. Dariush, Dariush is my kind of guy, and I really, really think that his skills on the ground are every bit of what Moicano has, then somebody's better on the feet. And I do agree with the line move. Dariush opened plus 150, 155, and now it's close to pick. Any kind of plus number on Dariush is a strong recommendation here.
Absolutely love it. Yes, your kind of guy, Vinil Dariush, that's for sure, Lou. Tell the people about the Bout Business podcast. You're in about 20 seconds before we have to wrap it up.
Final releases are at the Bout Business podcast. If you want to hear other releases than what I've given, that's at gamblu.com. Guys, I sure appreciate all the UFC support all this week, and have a great rest of the show. Thank you.
He's the best. Lou Fitacaro. Give him a follow on X at Gamblu. Now you see why he's mom and dad's favorite. There's no doubt about that.
Yep.
Okay, when we come back, news or is it noise? That's next.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back. VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here. Great having Lou Fitacaro on in the last segment, breaking down UFC 317. Jensen, I will give out my official plays here at the end of the show. Very excited to wrap it up. And it's been a great week, by the way, of guests to break down arguably the biggest card of the year. So you're getting a lot of differing opinions. There are some that align, and I think we'll get to some of those here in some of those best bets. But I've got to ask you now, is this news or a whole lot of noise?
Man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise.
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise. This is noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
Oh, Jensen, this is going to be interesting. Because for the Rockies, who have not been a very interesting team, by the way, they're still sitting at 9 wins on the month. Their win total was 9.5. We know they're going to have a new EVP coming up at the end of the 2025 season. Walker Monfort. He's going to be replacing Greg Fiesel, the president and COO, who's going to step down at the end of the year. If the last name sounds familiar as executive vice president, that's because he's the son of the owner, Dick Monfort. Jensen, is this news or noise?
It's news because, I mean, the Rockies have been just so effective with this current ownership group and how they've done business, right, the last decade or so. I was texting with our former players in our Loud Outs group chat. You can hear that on Sirius XM 89 and We Network Radio every afternoon. So you know, Ryan Spielberg's a great friend of ours, and the program does a great job on their TV side. I think this is one of those situations where, you know, we say this a lot in Cleveland. You look at the Haslam family, and are there things they've done right? Sure. Are there more things they've done wrong? Yes. Same idea here in Colorado. It's hard to tell an owner to change their ways,
right,
when they're the ones writing the checks. And this isn't really going to change until the team is sold. And so for Colorado Rocky fans, hang in there, man. I mean, the Broncos season cannot get here fast enough. It is just kind of a team that is, I gave the analogy, Dave, you remember using TI-83 calculators back in the day.
Yeah.
And now we've kind of graduated to AI. Well, the Rockies are still using TI-83 calculators to figure out, you know, how to scout, how to do day-to-day when everyone else is up to artificial intelligence now. So they've fallen behind so much on so many different parts of, you know, how to run the organization, how to acquire assets and those things that it's not changing anytime soon. So improvements, when you have the Monfort family that are doing what they're doing now, I don't have a high level of confidence anything changes.
I would just say that the executive vice president role, the EVP role, is the same title that Stephen Jones has in Dallas under his dad. So like when I look at it objectively as a fan or in a betting market for the Cowboys, like Stephen Jones now has 35 years of experience, but it's only because his dad is Jerry, right? So like, is that when we look at this, is it going to be tangible for the Rockies to say, yeah, we're on the right track because daddy's kid is going to be running the day-to-day operations? Like, I don't know, but I don't know if it's going to happen day one because it took Stephen a while to figure out what the job actually entails. I'm sorry, Rockies. I don't know that it's going to be better right away. Maybe in time he'll grow into the role, but we understand why some people get certain jobs that maybe they're not qualified for right away. How about this? If this is either news or noise, the NBA draft, obviously, Derek Queen, 13th pick overall in the draft coming out of Maryland. And he updated his resume, if you will, by doing that on LinkedIn. And he said, I'm happy to share that I'm starting a new position as a professional basketball player at New Orleans Pelicans. I love the at New Orleans Pelicans. Can't wait to touch down in New Orleans and meet the fans. Jensen, what do you make of Derek with this proclamation?
God love him, man. It still was a travel. You know, Maryland should not have won that game.
It was a gather.
This guy has already won the offseason as far as the rookies go. This is just phenomenal, phenomenal stuff here from Derek Queen. And what an announcement. I wanted to go find him and friend request him or connect
so I could do that.
It's so good. What great personality. And if that is any indicator of the impact that he will have on the floor with New Orleans, God, more power to him. Well done, DQ. Well done indeed.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like I always say on X, if you make me laugh, I'll retweet it. I have no problem doing that. That's pretty funny. That's pretty pretty quick-witted. And Derek Queen, by the way, is 30-1 to win the Roy. And I know that there are people out there that really wanted him to go to maybe Chicago with the big body, and he's mobile and kind of one of these new age big men here. Very quickly, when you look at the Roy odds, and you can understand Cooper Flagg is going to be the favorite at $1.70, but that came down. That was much higher when it began, so that it has come down here, and you see some of these other names. Is there anybody, like you look at Khan, fourth overall at 35-1, and obviously we talked about Queen at 30-1. Is it going to be one of the shorter shots, or is this one of those markets, Jensen, we're going to just wait and see how much playing time? You know they're going to run these kids out there for the majority of them. But how do you handicap this market here in June?
It's an awards market, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
Go ahead and burn your money because it'll not be objective. Understanding why Cooper Flagg installed as the favorite, no argument with that. I think I would like to wait to reevaluate this market once we see where the other dominoes fall here.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly, you know, you look at Dylan Harper at 12-1. If the Spurs are going to be active in the Giannis market, where all that transpires. I don't like the Pelicans where you have two guys that are going to be up for that. You know,
sure.
Just kind of take away from each other. I would go down to the Heat, right? If there is any a team that would allow their rookies to develop and really showcase, that would be, you know, an area I would look. But I'll stay away from all this right now until in a Lewis Ross administration we have clear guidelines of how to vote for these awards, in which it is not just a popularity contest.
You know, and the second overall pick there with Dylan Harper going to San Antonio, I can understand why that number is. People might be going,
yeah,
why is he at 12-1 instead of right. One of the shorter shot like an Ace Bailey or Trey Johnson? And I think it's pretty simple because of the Wemby effect. Right. Like how much is Dylan Harper really going to be able to show in year one when we're waiting on Wemby now to make that next gigantic step? Right. Like I'd rather play Wemby MVP than Dylan Harper 12-1.
Yep, and I think you and I workshopped that too when we saw those early numbers come out right after the finals completed. It made more sense if you feel that the Spurs take that next step, and Wemby at 18-1 down to 16-1 right now on DraftKings as we look at it. And by similar mode here, Cade Cunningham with the Pistons. We thought that the Detroit would take the next step, then he would be a huge part of that. He's at 30-1. So I'm completely with you on that. Much more into where getting some of those early numbers in the MVP market make more sense than whatever this rookie of the year is going to look like.
By the way, I did not watch any of day two's coverage on the TV. Right. I know Brandon Valesky, our intrepid producer, took the Lord's work.
Right. Yes.
I mean, that's one step for humanity. He said it was better. That day two was better.
Not
than
good.
Day one,
it
right?
was better.
But it was a step up. It was a step in the right direction. Do we need 2 days of the NBA draft?
No. We need people that are informed.
Yeah.
And have knowledge of the players. I've never, and I think I applaud ESPN on the NFL draft side, really instituting the College Game Day crew. That was so much fun, Dave, watching the game day guys that are inundated with this every single day. I'm going to selfishly say that as covering college baseball, we're in it all the time. So allow us to kind of go through the finish line there and be able to be boots on the ground and really bring those sights and sounds. I so much enjoyed the NFL draft coverage of listening to Reese and Sabes and, Kirk and those guys. McAfee was awesome. I just think it gives you much more of an idea of those guys that have played pro ball but are in the college game every day with those tentacles in the NFL to understand and help you know why these guys will translate to the NFL or why they won't.
I was busy watching the Mets shut out the Braves, and I was enjoying it until Griffin Canning went down. If you want to know where the money and the butts are moving for every single game out there, unlike other sports books, you got to become a VSiN Pro subscriber to have access to our betting splits. They come straight from Circa and DraftKings Sportsbook. That's going to give you insight into where the sharp action is coming in. And we're talking about this here in MMA and the main event coming up tomorrow night. Circa is known for taking those bigger bets from professional bettors. DraftKings, they're going to provide more of a broader market perspective. That means you're going to get the real action, not just the public money, but the kind of wagers that's going to move those lines. So see the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. When we come back, Colby Marcio is going to join the program to get his thoughts on the docket as we begin new series in Major League Baseball. That is next here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here on a Friday. Always love catching up with Colby Marcio. I mentioned earlier in the program, very entertaining follow on X. So you can follow him at Colby M Betts as we do. Does a great job here for betting news, breaking down baseball from a betting side. Colby, when you do those videos, those reaction videos for the home run, is there a lot of production value in it? Because they are sensational.
Zero. I love talking about these. I absolutely love talking about these. They're usually one take. And if I do two takes, it's because I stumbled on my words and I'm like, I can't have myself looking like a bigger idiot than I already am. I will add on with that saying, every time you see one of those, just know my girlfriend hates me.
Oh,
she hates it. She and hates
yet,
them.
And hates. And yet the loyalty remains, Colby. And that is
that's my job.
That
that's what I do.
It's my
it's
job.
A good it's a good woman.
Just, she'll see the interaction on them and go 50 likes, and I go, I told you, people like them. I told you.
You win in the end.
Okay. Speaking of not a lot of people like the Orioles right now. And for good measure, they are going to run into the wagon that is the Tampa Bay Rays right now. So a bit of an offset in what this one could look like. However, always great ways to make money on bad teams. And right now, an opportunity in your mind tonight, particularly with an Orioles bat.
100%. We're going to Gunnar Henderson's bases over 1.5 at +120 is what I got. He's on a 5-game hitless streak, so is he due? But it feels like nothing's due when it comes to the Orioles. He has an elite rating today on batters-box and 67 elite ratings at home. 77% of the time records a hit. 38% of the time records two hits. 30% of the time hits a home run. 60% of the time goes over this prop of his bases. And 65% of the time goes over his HRR prop. If you want the cushion, it's -130. That is my ceiling on paying for player props. I don't mind that price. I just would rather take the +120 on the base. He's taking on Ryan Pepio. It's a rematch from the 16th where he went 8 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits allowed, and 11 Ks against the O's, which is astonishing. Poor rating today in the current season. Ratings on batters-box is a poor average hitter, ISO and hard contact, allowing 42% hard contact. Gunnar Henderson mashes 76% of Pepio's arsenal, which are all about average or slightly above average. He struggles against sliders with an expected batting average of 220, but still gets a 42% hard hit rate. So I can live with that 30-ish percent, or actually 25-ish percent that he can't hit, because it's all average pitches. So I think it's a good price, and I think it's a good bounce back for Gunnar.
Colby, by the way, when you said that, it made me think of Donald Sutherland in Animal House. This is my job, people. I'm serious. This is what I do. The Nationals' job is to go out to Anaheim today and try to get the best of Jose Soriano. He's going to be on the bump for the Angels, playing pretty good baseball here. Jake Irvin's the other side here for the Nats. But maybe you think the offense for the Nats, at least early, could find it tough sledding?
100%. I was like, what am I going to do with this? Because I wanted to be in Jose Soriano something today because he's such an excellent ground ball pitcher. And all of his props are juiced, absolutely juiced, not even worth touching. -190, -225, like just move the number. Move the number, please. Maybe someone can bet on the over. But I'm taking the Nationals' first 3 innings under team total at +114. I didn't want to take the first 5 and pay some juice and just give them an extra 6 outs, to get an extra run. Jose Soriano has only allowed 2 runs in his last 20 innings pitched. He's the number one pitcher on batters-box, both time frames, current season and last 3 seasons. He has a 71% average hitter matchup ground ball percentage in the current season ratings. The Nationals have 0 elite hitters that are elite, poor, 2 above the league K rate, and 9 above the league ground ball rate, 28th in offense in the last 30 days, 5th worst in ground ball percentage in the last 14 days, worst against right-handed pitchers, and 3rd worst on the road. My only concern is Soriano gives up a ton of hard contact, but we just need to get through the order one time. Washington is 4th in first inning runs, so we really just need to get through that first inning. Also, a little side nugget, my guy Adam Rosenberg, is a double play aficionado, if you will, and the Angels are extremely good at turning double plays. So if you want to take them to turn a double play, parlay them with one of the guys I'm giving out to just get a hit, and I think it's going to be good value there.
I love it. Let's go a little late night fury here in the desert. The Marlins and the D-backs, it's Yuri Perez and Merrill Kelly. Love where your head's at here with Ketel Marte. I'll let you have the floor here with what you like in him. Can I interest you also in a Ketel Marte additional prop, perhaps scoring a run tonight in your mind?
Well, I already have him hitting a home run and going over his bases prop, so it probably all correlates, doesn't it? His bases at +125, it's kind of like how I said about Gunnar Henderson. If you want to take his HR for the cushion, it's the same exact price. It's -130 on some books, has great trends. He went hitless on Wednesday, so I like the bounce back at home. 22 great ratings, not elite, great, still has great trends. 81% of the time at home records a hit, 32% of the time two hits, 50% of the time over his bases, and then almost 70% over his 1.5 HRR prop. So if you want that extra cushion, I wanted the value. I didn't want to pay anything. It's Friday. I don't want to pay for much. He's taking on Yuri Perez, like you mentioned. Poor rating, poor average hitter matchup, ISO, hard contact, and ground ball percentage, allowing 40% hard contact over his last 102 innings pitched. He's 52% fastballs. I'm a sucker for any pitcher that is over 50%. Near 50% fastballs, because you're in the pros, you can hit a fastball. His best pitch is his curveball that he throws 18% of the time. Ketel Marte is murdering curveballs. 375 batting average, 1108 OPS, and a 223 WRC plus. I think it's a great price for Ketel Marte to go over 2 bases.
We've talked a lot, Jensen and I.
To get 2+ bases.
Two or more bases. I gotcha. Jensen and I have talked a lot today about the Royals and their lack of offense. Well, good news is here come the Dodgers. I don't know if that's good news at all. Into the fountains up here. What do you do when you see teams on streaks like this, Colby? Do you keep the streak going and say, I don't want to be the guy that's trying to get in front of. This is when the offense breaks out. I know people like to bet on the do factor. There's a lot of danger in that mentality out there. What do you make of teams on these type of streaks where you go, well, they're going to end at some point, but I don't know if I want to guess when that's going to end?
I think the due theory is the best handicap in all of sports. I mean, if that's your only handicap because they're due, I think it's the greatest thing to bet on because we're due for everything, right? In life, I'm just kidding. We're not. It really depends. My methods and madness, sometimes I would assume people think it doesn't make any sense because I change my ideologies on a day-to-day basis. But when it comes to a team, I would probably lean towards continuing fading them until they come out of it. But if it's like a hitter, I forgot who it was today. Jonathan Aranda. Good example. I like Jonathan Aranda today, but he's on like a 10-plus game hitting streak. I'm good. I can live with him continuing that streak. I will be there when the streak's over with. I don't want to back that. That's one side I don't like backing because he is due for an 0-for-4 game. And like it or not, he is 1,000% due. So it's usually with player props I try to shy away from, but sure. With teams I try to lean into it.
Colby, and for people that don't know, on DraftKings they do have King of the Diamond that is back tonight. Mm-hmm. And just for the heck of it, I know you have Gunner hitting a home run as a potential prop. I know if we go to Ketel Marte and we add him in, mm-hmm, for a home run, that also a potential prop with the King of the Diamond boost there, because you have to have two or more on the home run parlay. Mm-hmm. That gets us to 27-48, so 27-1. Do we lock that in right now?
Oh, I will ride it with you. I will 100% ride that with you. I'm trying to think if there's another name we could add, but I don't think not many players stood out today. I was going to lean into saying Vinny Pascatino because he's just my favorite Italian.
I mean, as a Royals backer, I hope Vinny and the rest of the boys wake up a little bit here and get that offense cranking. Colby, appreciate it as always. Great weekend series ahead. We'll talk again next week, but keep making the videos. Tell the girlfriend this is your job. It helps.
They're not going anywhere. Come on.
Keep them going.
I will get kicked out of the house before I stop doing those. So if you see me on the streets,
give them a follow at Colby M. Betts, kind enough to join us here on the Progressive Guest Line. If you're looking for a more exciting way to bet, you got to check out xcuta.com. That's spelled XCUTTA. It's the future of futures wagering, by the way. Combines the adrenaline of a live auction with the strategy of sports betting or fantasy picks. It's easy to use. It works for any sport. Over 1,000 teams, players, golfers, drivers, you name it. XCuta is adaptable to any sport, even horse racing. It's free to sign up. You're going to pick who you want to bid on, customize your own auction, set your winnings, invite your friends over to play. You can even create auctions for free. XCuta has free auctions every day at 3, 6, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Send an email to support@xcuta.com. Mention VSiN. They're going to give you a 3-month player promo code to get you started. XCuta is a sports Calcutta. Again, that's xcuta.com, XCUTTA. Okay, when we come back, we'll give out our best bets as we gear up for the weekend, not just today's games as well. And Jensen, sometimes in what we do, it goes against what your heart wants. That's going to be the case here when we get to some of my plays at UFC 317. But as Dad always said, you bet with your head, not with your heart. That is next when you come back with us here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Great conversation with Colby Marcio in the last segment, talking Major League Baseball. And really, it's been a stellar day and week, as usual, here on VSiN by the Books with the amount of guests and their insight. But I do want to wrap it up, Jensen, because it's time to give out our best bets. Of course, they are presented by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. And let's start off, before we get to baseball and the UFC and some of the picks that we like there, I do want to give you some love here in the WNBA because, again, you've been locking these in early for people as VSiN Pro subscribers, and you've been getting a lot of line value on these plays. And, again, now they got to go out and do the job, but you've kind of done the early work here. Tell the people what you already had locked in from earlier this week.
Yeah, so we've been, if you, again, a reason why we advocate being a VSiN Pro subscriber, especially for our show, just sometimes things pop throughout our show, yep, throughout the days before games are scheduled that day, or maybe they come up in a couple of days. And WNBA, as I'm learning here, a lot of opportunities to get some early values here. So way earlier this week, we gave you the Wings plus 7.5 against the Fever. That is now all the way down to plus 2.5. So Ooh. 5 points already of line movement. And again, a lot of this predicated on Caitlin Clark, you know, not being able to play or being effective whatsoever,
right,
in the last handful of weeks here. So that one, we got some a real good movement. The Mercury gave out plus 2. This is a day or two ago. They are now the favorite, minus 1.5 against the Liberty at home. Also a move in our favor, the Lynx and the Dream under 158.5 was what we gave out. It's now down to 156.5. And the Sky and Valkyries gave out under 156.5. That's ticked up a bit to 158. But three of the four, I'll take it right now.
Yeah.
And then tonight, looking at a blowout scenario here. The Storm at home against the league's worst team, the Connecticut Sun, 19.5, lock that in. This one should just be a laugher. If it's not, whatever. But again, some really, really good stuff here already for the WNBA in that one.
I think we call this covering all bases, and well done there with the WNBA. It's what we try to do. If we find value, we don't care what sport it's in, we're going to try to bring you that value. So there are some right there in the WNBA. In Major League Baseball, we talk about trends, and sometimes do you want to fade the current trend? Do you want to roll with what's been happening? With the Rangers have struggled to score runs here. This matchup tonight against the Mariners, they begin their set deep in the heart of Texas. Do you think it's still going to be a struggle for those runs to be scored?
Yep, part of our Daily Diamond segment today, Dave, official play for sure is a Mariners-Rangers under 7.5. This is Logan Gilbert for Seattle. Nathan Eovaldi coming back off the IL from a triceps injury will get the start tonight for the Texas Rangers. If you want to play the under in the first five, I believe you can get it even money under 3.5. I do feel both these pitchers will be on their games. Logan Gilbert has had a lot of success in his career there at Globe Life Park in Arlington. By the way, a quick segue for you. We used to call that the Cowboys Stadium the Death Star because you could see it,
yes,
from where we would stay at the team hotel in Irving. Dave, as you know, where everything is super flat right, mm-hmm, there, and there's not a lot to impede your view. So on the highway to Arlington, you could see it in the distance, and very much so a new hope for you Star Wars fans out there when Obi-Wan goes, "That's no moon. That's a space station." And that's kind of what we felt when you would, because it was so much bigger than, you know, the ballpark at Arlington there, Dave. So they're right next door. All right. But when you would come in and get in the parking, like, this thing is a behemoth.
It's massive.
Man. So we called it the Death Star when it first opened up.
I call that one now for the Raiders out here because it's just all black. And it does
all
look
black,
like it's,
yeah,
it looks like it's straight out of Star Wars. But it is a fantastic reference. How about the Brewers against the Rockies? Again, I talked about it all week. I said at the beginning of the week that if you had the Rockies over 9.5 wins, this is going to be the ultimate sweat. Jensen, by the time we do the show on Monday, we're going to know if they can get one of three against the Brewers to cash that over ticket. I don't know that I'd want to be sitting on that right now. What about today against the Brew Crew?
Yeah, I don't know if I want to get in front of this all of a sudden surging Brewers offense. Boy, they are hot in a lot of ways. We just talked about them putting up four against Paul Skeens in a win with Jacob Mizrowski on the hill. It'll be Jose Quintana getting the start for the Brew Crew tonight. No starter announced just yet for Colorado, but I don't think it's going to matter. So I'm advocating for the run line here. You can still find it at plus $1.04,
wow,
on DraftKings. And again, part of our Daily Diamond where the Brewers, when you look ahead, have been, you know, just as good a team here the last couple of weeks, have ascended up this National League Central standings. But I do think they take care of business tonight. And you're right. If you've got an over,
oh man,
that Rockies
unnecessary
win total,
sweat.
It's not happening tonight, I don't think.
Yeah, you knew it would be a sweat, but this could be an all-timer if they go winless in the final week and can't get that home. Something's got to give with the Cubs and the Astros. The pitching all of a sudden for the Cubs has been lights out in the last couple games against the Lou. And we see what the Astros were able to do against the Phillies and really shut down that offense in totality. Low run line here in H-Town of 8, but you're looking at the side rather than the total.
Cubs 10-5 on the money line in non-league games, so against American League opponents. 10-5, best mark in Major League Baseball. And right now, you can get them almost even money at Circa. I locked them in, the Cubs, at $1.09 on DraftKings. At the moment, they are $1.08. So some money moving in a little bit on the Astros here. But Cade Horton, Brandon Walter, the pitching matchup. Horton has been a guy that they've had to press into action here with the injuries to Justin Steele, Shota Imanaga, just coming back yesterday for the Cubs, and was a really resounding effort for him in a win over the St. Louis Cardinals. But Cubs have handled American League opponents thus far. I think it continues again tonight.
UFC 317 tomorrow. And again, that's why I love breaking this down from Monday to Friday. Watch the numbers move and finally get to the window on some plays that I put in last night. So again, I've talked about him a lot this week. My favorite play on the board is Brandon Royval at +$1.05 against Joshua Van. And again, when you have some of our people on the show, like Lou Finicaro today, and those handicaps aligned, and certainly like Zayd Hussain as well, where they all see it the same way. I love that price point for the raw dog at +$1.05. So going with Royval there against Joshua Van, a fighter I really like. I just think it's too much, and I don't think he should be the favorite against Royval. I did get there in Kai Kara, France. Going back and watching that first fight, Lou alluded to it as well 9 years ago. I understand the love for Alexandre Pantoja. And Pantoja will tell you he's the best champion right now in the UFC. So he's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. But I think if he can't get the fight down to the ground against Kai Kara, France in a potentially 5-round co-main event here with the strap on the line, I think it's Ann New. And Kai Kara, France shows off those hands, and Australia gets another champion tomorrow night. And I'm going to play him at a 2-1 dog price there. And look, I love Charles Oliveira. If I lose this bet, I will be very happy, because there's nobody I like to root for more than Du Bronx. But the thing we're sleeping on here, and I know Topuria said I'm going to knock him out. If he hurts Charles, Charles will go down to the ground. And that's where a submission becomes available for Ilya Topuria. So instead of laying the big price point here, Jensen, at over 4-1 betting favorite, almost 5-1, take the 505 plus money on the big favorite to submit Charles Oliveira on the ground, because I'm telling you, the fight will hit the ground and that opportunity is going to present itself.
Wow. I love it. I am going to take Zayd Hussain's idea here for the moneyline parlay too. I'm going to go with the knees. I know I'm against you here on the Kai Kara France win.
Sure.
With a Pantoja moneyline parlay at $1.18. I can't wait to watch it, buddy. Oh. I was just going to go upstairs after the show and tell Michelle, hey, plans are set for tomorrow night. We'll get the Blackstone fired up. We'll get some of the Italian red flowing. We'll get some steaks on the
grill. I'm going to Cleveland. Forget Vegas. Let's go to Cleveland. That sounds better to me. it's going to be one of those, if you're a casual fan, whether it's MMA betting or the sport itself, as good a card top to bottom as you're going to get. So enjoy the experience, people, if you haven't done so already. We got a great a deal right now. It's a $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. All you got to do is open up a GBank Visa Signature credit card, first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger that $500 trifecta. You're going to get $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet's going to give you an additional $100 deposit match. VSiN will then complete that trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st, in and of itself, a $200 value. That is the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head over to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. It is a one-time promotion limited to customers opening up a new account. In response to this offer, will not apply to request to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. Jensen, I need to see some pictures of that dinner and wine pairing. It sounds fantastic, my friend. Can't wait to see that. Again, numbers game coming up next year. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidwin. Thanks to Danny Higgins and to Brandon Valesky, Savannah, everybody behind the glass, Larry. Everybody does a great job here on the program. Excellent week of shows. We'll do it again on Monday here on VSiN by the Books.